Couple of weekends time. Make sure you register today at the Ask Me desk. Well, it's almost the end of the financial year, and being it's the end of the financial year, I want to take a moment just to talk to you about Impact Care Services, which is our charitable arm as a church, our charitable company through which we help our community and reach out to our community and do different events that we've conducted over the years in terms of community park days, helping homeless people, marginalized people, helping with just emergency food supplies for people. We give away so much food in our church in terms of helping move life forward for people. We do all of that mission work through our charitable arm called Impact Care Services. And we wanted to just draw to your attention, particularly with the close of the financial year, if you're in business and you want to give a donation for tax deductible purposes, we have that through our charitable arm. Every donation over $2 is tax deductible. So now's the time of year that people are kind of doing that sort of thing. We've had people in our church who have discovered that we do that and expressed interest in that and have said they've been giving donations to other organizations and they're just so glad they can do it through their local church. So we think that's a good deal, so we want to promote that to you. Those donations to just help move life forward for people that we minister to through Impact Care Services. We held the graduation this week for the students that have done the Skilling Queenslanders for Work program called Moving Life Forward here with us. A certificate too in hospitality was what they achieved, and we had a stage full of just young people from our community that have overcome extreme educational barriers, extreme personal family life barriers to graduate with this certificate and to now be work ready, which is absolutely amazing. Most of them are employed, others are going on to further studies, and we are oh so proud of every single one of them. So we wanted to say thank you to the church for just letting us do that, allowing us to do that, the privilege that we have as pastors to invest our time and energy and oversight and coordination skills and leadership skills into all of that has been amazing, and it's been a blessing to our church. Most importantly, it's been a blessing to our community, and it's changed lives forever. If we could take the time to show you some videos, but we're kind of pinched for time, but if we could, you would be so blessed and so proud you wouldn't fit out that door this morning when you walked out with everything that we've done over the past little while for all of those young people. The food outlet is also open today. It's another arm of what we do through Impact Care Services to help people just get cheap groceries and meat, and that's so important through this economic time that we're in right now. So you can be blessed and visit that straight after the service if that's what you're trying to do. On a little bit of a tight schedule today, and I said to the team, hey, don't waste any time on me today. Don't go too long in different parts of the service. So apologies for popping up on stage halfway through the worship and taking over. Nobody knew where it was going or what I was doing or why I'd come to stage, but I just came to stage because that's what I do. And did that and used a little bit of time, so I'm going to have to talk super duper fast today. Are you going to be able to keep up?
Yes.
Come on, are you going to be able to keep up with me today? Okay, it's an important day. It's Pentecost today. Pentecost Sunday. And I want to take the time to talk this through in an intelligent way today, because often I hear things taught and said about the Holy Spirit from stages and in interpersonal conversations, and sometimes some of the things I hear said about the Holy Spirit and taught about the Holy Spirit and Pentecost and everything that's involved in that, well, let's just say it's a little bit left of center sometimes, and it's a little bit out there, it's a little bit far removed from the scriptures for me. How many of you know the Bible is the basis for everything we believe? Everything we believe, it's the basis for what we believe and how we practice and how we live. And so this is the first tool, the first thing we go to in terms of understanding of these things. It's a little bit like in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. Luke was one of those writers of the Gospel, because there's four Gospels. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Luke kind of sat back and looked at the other Gospels and thought, well, they're good, but I think it could be a little bit better, is kind of Luke's attitude. So Luke writes this. He starts off, he says, to the most honorable Theophilus, to the most honourable Theo. We have an honourable Theo in the room today. So to the most honourable Theo, he's writing this, he says, many have written accounts about the events that took place among us. They used as their source material the reports circulating among us from the early disciples and other eyewitnesses of what God had done in fulfilment of his promises. Having clearly investigated all of these accounts from the beginning, I have decided to write a careful summary for you to reassure you of the truth that you were taught. What I want to do today is give a clear and concise teaching moment around the Holy Spirit so that we can be reassured of the truth that we've been taught and the truth that we understand and that we practice and that we believe about the Holy Spirit. We sang it before in that song called This I Believe, the doxology. You know, I believe in God the Father, I believe in God the Son, I believe in God the Holy Spirit, the God that's three in one. It's the statement of truth from the scriptures about our belief system, our theology, that there is one God, but one God that is three in one. He is Father, He is Son, He is Spirit. And many of us are well familiar with the belief of God the Father, the creator of all that we have. God the Son, we're familiar with because that's Jesus. He came and died for all of our sins at Calvary, and we celebrate that particularly at Easter, the death and resurrection of Jesus. But then we have God the Holy Spirit. And this is a little bit perplexing for some people because conceptually, to get your head around the person of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does for us, it takes a little bit of understanding from the scriptures to really understand that. I mean, I grew up in what's called a Pentecostal family. So in other words, I grew up in a family that came to a church just like this, a Holy Spirit family. And in that family, when I went to school, you know, they did little surveys or ask you what religion you belong to. And 98% of the class were Catholic. And then there was the odd Baptist and maybe a Presbyterian, and then there was the Pentecostal. And they didn't have a category for the Pentecostal, and you had to kind of shout it out, and everyone would laugh at you, and you wondered, well, what was so wrong with being a Pentecostal in our belief system of church and relationship with God? So I kind of grew up with a little bit of confusion around that, and I guess wanted to be just like everybody else, to be accepted by them for my faith. But what I've discovered about my faith and my belief system that I grew up in is that it's actually based in the Bible. It's based in the scriptures, and it belongs in there. And so I'm very, proud, I think is the right word, to teach it to us today about the Holy Spirit. That word Pentecost, I mean, it's not a word you go around using very much. We heard it the other day. Sharon and I were on holidays in the Whitsundays and did a cruise out to a place called Whitehaven Beach, and we went past this island, and they said, that's Pentecost Island, and this is the Whitsundays. And Whitsunday comes from the word Pentecostal. It means the same thing. And so when the discoverers came through, they claimed it as the Pentecost Islands, known to us as the Whitsunday Islands. Pentecost, if you go back to the Old Testament, because we practice it today as New Testament believers as a New Testament practice in terms of the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit was poured out in the upper room where the disciples gathered and people spoke in other languages, other tongues, and were filled with the presence and the power of God, and the church was birthed. And that's what we celebrate, and that's what we're celebrating this morning, the birthing of the church of Jesus Christ. Not a denomination, not an abomination, but the church of Jesus Christ. And we're celebrating the birth of that. That's what Pentecost is for a New Testament believer. But in the Old Testament, it was a festival called Pentecost. It was a festival that's listed in a number of places in the Old Testament books, and they celebrated what's called the Feast of Weeks. You see, there were two harvests in the area known as Palestine now, two harvests that they would have in the year. One was late May towards the start of June. The other one was September towards October. And they're called the Harvest of First Fruits. Now, the one in early May, June was the harvest of barley and wheat. And so that became known as Pentecost Festival, Pentecost Harvest, Pentecost celebration. And it was on the calendar for the Jews, literally on their calendar, like it is for us, that they celebrated the festival of harvest of Pentecost. So what happened in the book of Acts chapter 2 was the Jews were gathering in Jerusalem for the celebration of the festival of the Old Testament, the festival of weeks and Pentecost. And they were bringing their first fruits harvest to the house of God to celebrate together. People from other countries were also gathering, and there were hundreds of thousands of people in the city, all around the city, camped all around the city, and in this upper room were the disciples of Jesus. They had gathered to pray because Jesus had told them the Holy Spirit, or I'm sending you the promise, a gift. He's going to come and he's another just like me. And so they're praying for this gift. They didn't know what to expect, what to receive. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit was poured out. There were tongues of fire, literally flames on their heads, which is kind of weird in itself. I don't know the last time you saw someone walking around with a flame on their head. But that is something to behold. I mean, if you were fully lit today, we'd all be looking at you, right? And so that happened on that day. It looked like they had flames of fire on top of their head, and then they spoke languages they did not know. The people heard them and thought, you know, the disciples, they've been, yeah, you know, they've been on the bottle, they're just drunk is what they are. But they jumped up and Peter jumped up and said, no, these men, they're not drunk as you suppose. They are full of the Holy Spirit. And this language you hear them speaking, because what happened was the people from all the other nations heard them speaking in their own tongue, in their own language. And they heard them proclaiming or preaching or declaring the wonders and the miraculous thoughts about God so that they could understand. So on the day of Pentecost, when they spoke in tongues, it was a literal tongue, a literal native tongue. People ask me about speaking in tongues. They say, is speaking in tongues, is it another language? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But the Bible also has moments where it's not, where it's a language that no one understands, Paul says, and it's just about communication between you and God that kind of detours around your brain so the brain does not become a barrier. It's a language that you speak, a heavenly language that you speak to God with. I want to start today, because that was all just before the start, I want to start today by declaring that we are a Pentecostal church. We are a Pentecostal church. That means that we believe that God is the same God as he was yesterday, that he's still doing the same thing today. That means that we believe in miracles. That believes we believe in speaking in tongues. That means that we believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you go to Google and you Google Pentecostal, this is what it says about a Pentecostal church. It says, Pentecostals emphasize the work of the Holy Spirit and a direct experience of the presence of God by a believer. In other words, we believe God is real. We believe God is real. We believe God is relevant. We believe God is involved in our daily lives. And this thing called the church, it's not about a liturgical gathering. That's a big word. It's not about a liturgical gathering, a liturgy, where we just follow a certain ritual of practice. It's about meeting with a living God. A living God is what this is all about. So we still believe in everything that God did, that he still does the same today. You know, it was normal in the New Testament for believers to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and you speak in tongues, I want you to know today you are normal. You are normal. Because I kind of grew up thinking I wasn't normal because others didn't do it. Other churches didn't teach it, preach it, practice it. And you get laughed at and you get scoffed and you get mocked. And the early time Pentecostals in the early 1900s through to the 1960s and 70s got really ridiculed for being Pentecostals. I remember the first church that we pastored was in Ballarat, Victoria. And when we went there, the original Sunday school superintendent of the church was still there. She was in her 90s. She was around when the early Pentecostal revivalist preachers from America came out, Valdez Jr. and all those kind of big names that came out back then, and they came to Ballarat because Ballarat was one of the oldest Pentecostal churches in Australia. It was the third established Pentecostal church in Australia, established in 1927. And she was the original Sunday school superintendent, and she'd tell stories about how they'd have tomatoes thrown at them and rotten fruit thrown at them down the main street when people realized that these were the tongue-talking Pentecostal believers in the city. Now, people don't do that to me when I walk around Logan. I've had eggs thrown at me. I can't remember the last time I've had, fruit thrown at me because I was a Pentecostal believer. So we don't have that kind of persecution going on today. We're more accepted today. Actually, we're trendy today. We're cool today in terms of, church circles. But don't ever let cool, and don't ever let trendy, and don't ever let acceptance diminish the fact and the truth that we are a Pentecostal church, and we believe in the power, the person, and the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, to fill us, to empower us, and help us move life forward. That's what we believe. Every church in the New Testament was Pentecostal. Every church. Every church was a church that believed the Holy Spirit and spoke in other tongues. Paul speaks to them. Paul teaches them. And it was a part of the gospel that he taught, was the infilling and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So every single church in the New Testament believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. Most importantly for me are the teachings of Jesus about the Holy Spirit. This is what is most important to me. Is what did Jesus say? As a pastor, as a preacher, as someone that likes to research the Bible, I always want to go and see, what did Jesus say about this? What did he teach about this? Because the Bible says he is the living word. He is the living word. I want to know what he said about the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said four profound things, particularly about the Holy Spirit and his function in our lives. Jesus says this in John 14. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit. So the first thing Jesus says about the Holy Spirit is he is our helper. He's our helper. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So the Holy Spirit is our helper, he's our teacher, and he is one that brings to remembrance. He is our reminder, our helper, our teacher, our reminder. And then Jesus says in Acts 1:5, he says, John baptized you with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus also adds the thought that there is a baptism in the Holy Spirit, which he goes on to say will be our empowerer, who will fill us with the power and the fire of the Holy Spirit. So I want to address just quickly these four thoughts that Jesus gave today. Firstly, the Holy Spirit is our helper. It says, but the Holy Spirit, the helper, will come. The Holy Spirit, the helper, will come. In another place, Jesus says this in John 14:16. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor. Another counselor. The word another in the Greek is the word allos, A-L-L-O-S. And it means I will send another exactly like me. I will send another that's the same as me to be with you. Now, he spoke these words to the disciples when he was talking to them about leaving them and going away. And they thought they were going to be left orphaned and left by themselves and left alone. And everything would be lost. But Jesus said, no, don't fear. I'm sending another, allos, just like me. An exact representation of me, who will be your counselor, he'll be your comforter, he'll be your intercessor, your advocate, your encourager, your helper. It's a Greek word, paraklete or parakletos, And it means all of those things, all of those functions that the Holy Spirit does. One who draws alongside of you to support and strengthen and assist you. Church, I want you to know today that the Holy Spirit is present with you to be your helper, to be your guide, to be your comfort, to be your encourager, to be your director, to be one that would advocate on your behalf. He's here to help us get beyond what we can't get beyond ourselves. He's here to help us overcome. When our strength runs out, His strength kicks in and He carries us. That's what the Holy Spirit is here for. Anyone ever got to the end of it? Come on. You ever got to the end of it? Like, how long is that rope before you get to the end of it? And it's a saying we have, I'm at the end of my rope. No, I'm just at the end of it. When you're at the end of it, it's just the start of it for Him. That's where the Holy Spirit really takes over in terms of our help, where His strength kicks in and He becomes one that works on our behalf. Another way I think the Holy Spirit helps us is He helps us when our flesh just wants to scream out. When our flesh just wants to scream out, He helps bring peace when there's turmoil. I don't know what your life is like, but I know what my life is like. And my life often has moments where my flesh just wants to scream out. I often have moments where the turmoil overwhelms and overcomes, and I have to hold the tension of turmoil and peace. And the Holy Spirit helps me with that, so to sleep. The Holy Spirit helps me with that, to hold the tension of the turmoil, to help us to control ourselves, control our emotions. He empowers us in those moments. He helps us in our struggles. Anyone in the room have struggles? He helps us in our struggles. He helps us in our trouble. He helps us in our weaknesses. So whether you've got struggles, troubles, weaknesses, He is your helper. He's your helper. He helps us in our tests and our trials and our tribulations. He helps us harness our habits, and He presents opportunities for us. Anyone thankful and grateful for the help of the Holy Spirit today? He helps us when we're not even realizing He's helping us. He's upholding us when we're not even realizing it's Him that's upholding us. He's guiding us when we don't even realize He's directing us, when we don't even ask Him. He's always helping us. You know, the Holy Spirit is really practical and really present, ever present, to help us to live well. To help us to live well. He is literally the invisible presence of God given to empower us to overcome in this life. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit, my helper. I'm also thankful for the Holy Spirit, my teacher, that He teaches me. And He illuminates the Word of God. And He makes it come alive. And He helps me to understand it. He helps me to engage with it and embrace it. Jesus said, and we read it in our text, He said, these things, speaking to His disciples, these things that I have taught you while I'm with you, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. So Jesus is saying to the disciples, there's coming a time when you're going to need to be reminded, and the Holy Spirit will remind you. He'll remind you. Not only will He remind you, He will teach you. He will teach you all things that you need to know. So what the Holy Spirit does is He reinforces, He undergirds, and He highlights God's Word for us. He teaches us. He is our teacher. You know, some people speak of stuff that the Holy Spirit has shown them, and yet that stuff has absolutely no relevance to our real life. My belief in that is this: if the Holy Spirit shows you something, or if you have an encounter with God, it is life-changing. It is life-changing. And if you're speaking about it, it's going to help other people. And if it doesn't help other people, you probably shouldn't speak about it. It's helpful to other people. I love it when people speak to me in a helpful way. In a helpful way. In a relevant way, in a way I can understand and appreciate and respect and I can follow. I like it when teachers communicate in a language that I can receive. That's what I like. I grew up in church world where it seemed that those that spoke about the Holy Spirit were on a whole different level to everyone else in the room. They were having these amazing experiences and amazing understanding of God that nobody else could ever quite attain. It became so unattainable because of the way they communicated about it. I love the mastery of teachers like Jesus. When Jesus spoke, he spoke with authority, but he also spoke at a level that everyone could understand and receive the truth of what he was talking about. This is what Jesus says the Holy Spirit will do. The Holy Spirit will not speak to you in a weird way. In a weird way. You've heard me say many times from this pulpit, and I say it deliberately, we don't do weird. Because God's not weird. People are weird. You ever met a weird person? Here's the thing about weird people. They were weird before they got baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were weird before they got saved. They're just weird. There are such things as weird people. Am I the only one that knows these people? I can introduce you. They were weird before the Holy Spirit, so you can't blame the Holy Spirit for that. There was a weirdness. If you go back in their life journey, you'll note a pattern of weirdness. Like I have patterns. If you go back in my history, you'll see the patterns of Tony. And you have patterns. And so... Don't ever blame the Holy Spirit for the weirdness that you see in someone. The weird's always been there. The way they speak about the Holy Spirit is just attached to their weirdness. So I needed to say that today because sometimes people throw out the whole truth of the Holy Spirit because of the weirdo who's teaching it. So let this weirdo today, me, teach you in a way that's not weird and that is practical as Jesus would talk. It may sound spiritual, but it's not practical. I personally believe the more spiritual you are, the more practical you are. And I love people that had experiences with God that I don't understand, and they speak to me in a life-giving way about it. In a life-giving way, because I think that's what the heart of God wants. The Holy Spirit is so practical, so spiritual. He always is. And Jesus said he will lead you into all truth. He will lead you into all truth. You know, the Holy Spirit's teaching creates the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. That's what his teaching does. He's there to produce fruit. So the measure of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the measure of the teaching that we are embracing of the Holy Spirit is measured by this kind of verse in Galatians 5, 22 to 23, where it says the Holy Spirit produces. How does he produce it? Through an understanding and awareness of him in our lives, through him teaching us the word of God in our lives, through what we're doing now, through this kind of thing. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love. If we're not more loving, then we're not really being led and taught by the Holy Spirit. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These fruit of the Spirit are what the Holy Spirit is growing in us, growing in our hearts, growing in our minds, growing in our lifestyle. And the goal of the Holy Spirit's teaching is the fruit of the Spirit working practically in our lives. What the Holy Spirit does is he deals with the roots to get better fruit. You've got to deal with the roots to get better fruit, to get better produce. Any farmer knows that. You've got to deal with the soil. You've got to deal with all of that stuff, the nutrients, the exposure, the atmosphere is all so important for the production of good fruit. And the Holy Spirit works the same way. He goes there. He doesn't even ask you whether you want to go there. He's going there. So when you walk into a counselor, go figure this. When you go to a counselor, you pay money for them to go there. You pay money for them to go where the girlfriends won't go, where your mates won't go, and you pay them, and you just say, please go there. Here's $200, go there for me. And they go there. And the Holy Spirit's the same. He just goes there. He's going to go to the roots so that he can develop better fruit in your life. And it's not because he doesn't like you, it's because he needs to deal with the roots of what's going on in our lives so that he can deal and produce better fruit in our lives, the fruit of the Spirit. Here's a verse that many Christians misunderstand, and I need to address that because I've had people say this to me, and when they say it to me, my eyes just glaze over. It's this, 1 John 2:26. I am writing these things to warn you about those who want to lead you astray. And then he says in verse 27, but you have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you. This is the verse people often quote to me and misquote, misapply. It says this, he lives within you, so you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything that you need to know, and what he teaches is true, and it's not a lie. So just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. Some people use this verse to say, I don't need to go to church, I don't need a teacher. I don't need a teacher. I don't need anyone to teach me. Well, that is the dumbest thing in the world you could possibly say. That's like saying, I don't need to go to school. I don't need a school teacher. I don't need to go to college. I don't need to go to university. I can just go in and practice and be a brain surgeon. Really? You going to let that person operate on you? We all need guidance, direction, teachers. They're listed throughout the Bible. A teacher is actually a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So clearly we need teachers. Pastors are called a gift. I know that's hard to believe sometimes, but pastors are actually called a gift. I come with a big bow on today. A gift is what the Bible says. And so the Bible's not going to contradict the Bible. So what's going on here? That's the kind of question you've got to ask when you encounter this kind of thought and perplexity in the scriptures. This verse is not about not needing a teacher. It's not about that at all. John, who writes this, is dealing with and addressing false teachers within the church who intentionally were drawing people away from the truth of the gospel, that Jesus had died for their sins, resurrected again, and that the Holy Spirit's baptism was to empower every believer. And they were leading people away intentionally. They denied Christ, they denied the Messiah, they denied that Jesus has come in the flesh. And John writes to them and told them they've already received the truth of the Holy Spirit, and he lives within them, and he will from within guide them like a GPS system, direct them, comfort them, be all those things that the paraclete, the Holy Spirit would be. And he says, and you don't need anyone to teach you what is true, because the Spirit affirms and teaches us what we need to know and what is true in sense of this new truth. In other words, what he's saying is, as the Holy Spirit is in you, from learning it from the Word of God, through the teachers, through what you've been taught, as that is in you, you can quickly identify deception. You can quickly identify false teaching because you have the Holy Spirit activated in you. And he's saying the Holy Spirit teaches us to remain in fellowship and not to depart from that connection. John's not saying we don't need teachers anymore or anyone to teach us. He's saying what we need is the Holy Spirit, his anointing on us, protecting us from those that try to deceive us. Your Holy Spirit is like a radar. You know when you drive down the road and you get a warning system to say that there's a police radar and something beeps in your car or something like that? That's kind of like what the Holy Spirit is. Like when you're speeding down the freeway, which I know you never do, and you hear the alarm and you sense the alarm bells and you get the warning. It's a healthy thing to take precaution when you get warnings. It's a healthy thing, whether it's your heart, whether it's your head, whatever it is, it's a healthy thing when you get those warning bells of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is out to protect us from those that want to separate us from Christ, from his purpose, and from his church. That's what that scripture means. And if you go back, he actually says here, I'm writing these things to warn you about those who want to lead you astray. That's a hint to what the verse 27 means. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, no eye has seen. What a great Pentecostal verse this one is. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But it was God that revealed these things by his Spirit, for his Spirit searches out everything and shows us the deep secrets of God. What will the Holy Spirit teach you? The deep secrets of God. The deep secrets of God. There are secret things that God keeps secret from us until we're ready for them. He said it to his disciples once, unless you're open, I'm going to hide my teaching from you. And the more open you are, the more you lean in, the more you will understand. The more I will illuminate, the more I will teach you. And so there's an openness that you can have that can attract the Holy Spirit, building increased levels of awareness. He says here, more than we can see, more than we can hear or imagine, the Holy Spirit will show us what God has prepared for us. And so the Holy Spirit's role is to show us what the plan and the purpose of God is in our lives. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit's our reminder. Are you doing okay today? He's our reminder. He reminds us of things that we've learned. He reminds us of things that we've heard said about God and that we've understood about God. Why do we need reminding? Because we tend to forget. Anyone in the room forget things? Yeah, it seems like the older you get, the more you forget. Like, I find myself walking into rooms and thinking, I'm not quite sure why I came in here. I did come in here for a reason. I found myself at the coffee machine. Occasionally I make coffees here at church. I found myself trying to, Tyler, get this. I found myself trying to froth the coffee rather than froth the milk. Just forgetting basic things. And it's the same with the word of, I just forget things sometimes, but I so much appreciate the fact that the Holy Spirit helps me to remember. You see, for all of us here, like for committed believers, you might come to say, you know, 45 services a year, something like that. So you're hearing, you know, 40 odd sermons. If you're gluttonous, you might watch a few on TV and go a few more. If you're really a fanatic, you might go to a few conferences and whatnot and hear others preach the word of God or listen to a few podcasts. And sometimes it's easy to think, well, I'm not sure it's all going in. I'm not sure it's really helping me. And in terms of when I do a series of sermons or we do here at church, sometimes people might think, well, I'm still trying to catch up with the last series. I don't need a new series. I'm still trying to get that one sorted out before we move on to another one. And the truth is, we just keep throwing it at you because it's actually going in. It's actually going in and you don't even realize that it's going in. And every now and then it pops up and God causes it to pop up in your memory. And it's like a flash. The Holy Spirit reminds you of the things that you've been taught about Jesus. It's because we put ourselves in that posture of being exposed to the Word of God. Like, I still occasionally remember things that I was taught in school. Which is amazing because I can't remember listening a great deal when I was there. But there's things that have gone into my mind that are still there that come out every now and then. And it's the same with stuff in church. I still remember stuff my Sunday school teachers would teach me. I still remember the songs we used to sing in Sunday school. And I torture you with them occasionally. There's so much that the Holy Spirit reminds us of. It's Him that is helping things come to our remembrance. So I want to encourage you, just keep putting it in. Keep pouring it in. Keep taking it in. Keep embracing it because the Holy Spirit is reminding you. Here's the one I really want to talk to you about today as we close. He is our empowerer. The Holy Spirit is our empowerer. Not only does the Bible teach that we are born into God's kingdom of the Holy Spirit, but it also teaches we're baptized into the Holy Spirit. So we're born again by the Holy Spirit is what we're taught. Jesus taught us that, but we are also baptized by the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:5, Jesus says to his disciples, says, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Let me get back to this point again. It was normal in the New Testament for believers to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Everyone say it was normal. It was normal. It was normal to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in other tongues. There was a moment when the Apostle Paul was on a missionary journey. He was traveling. He was traveling and he went to a place called Ephesus and he found several believers who had not yet received the Holy Spirit. Note they were believers, but had not yet received the Holy Spirit. And it says this. He said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe?" He asked them. "No," they replied, "we haven't even heard there is a Holy Spirit." We haven't even heard there is a Holy Spirit. And it says, "Then what baptism did you receive or experience?" And he asked them. And they replied, "We received the baptism of John." And Paul said, "Well, John's baptism called for repentance from sin. But John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, they repented of their sins, received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke in other tongues and they also prophesied. People sometimes mistakenly think that when you get saved, you receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is a real and subsequent event. It's a separate event from being saved and having your sins forgiven. Yes, the Holy Spirit comes in at that moment, but the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a separate, subsequent event that can happen almost simultaneously, or it might take 5 years later. Or 10 years later. I know people that have been sitting in churches like this, like a Pentecostal church, for 10 years and not experienced the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And all I can say to you, if that's you, is run to the river and get yourself baptized in the Holy Spirit as quickly as possible, because he's here to be your helper, he's here to be your teacher, he's here to be your reminder, and he's here to be your empowerer also. John predicted that Jesus would be the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. This is what he said. He said, I baptize with water so people will turn from their sins to God. But someone is coming who is far greater than I, so much greater than I, that I'm not even worthy to be his slave. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Note what is said here in Acts 1:4. Jesus said this to the disciples. This is the promise of what Jesus spoke about that they would receive on this day, the day of Pentecost. He said, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you what he promised. Remember, I have told you about this before, that John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power and tell people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The story goes on in Acts chapter 2. It then says, on the day of Pentecost, on this literal day, 7 weeks after Jesus' resurrection, the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm in the skies above them, and it filled the whole house where they were meeting. Then, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Can you notice with me that the intention and the purpose of the baptism in the Holy Spirit was that the believers would receive power to be witnesses for Jesus. Power to be witnesses for Jesus. Power to share the gospel, shine the gospel. Power to attract other people to the faith of Jesus Christ. The word power is the word dunamis. It's explosive power. It's something beyond the dimension of what we know as human beings in terms of what we can do. It's the God empowerment to get the God work done. Literally a boldness, a confidence to represent God and tell other people about him. That's why we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not to feel good, not to rock and roll. What we need the Holy Spirit for is to help us tell people about Jesus. That's what we need it for. And with that comes the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit that work through us. Gifts of healing. Some have gifts of healing, which I love. It's amazing when people have the gift of healing and exercise that gift. Some people have like the gift of administration. That's also an amazing gift to help bring things into order. Some have the gift of interpretation of tongues, when tongues are spoken in a public service like this, which is a different layer or level of speaking in tongues. They have the ability to interpret it so that everyone would understand what is being said. Whatever your gift is, it comes as a gift of the Holy Spirit. So we can't afford to diminish or neglect or ignore the person and the truth and the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Every New Testament church was Pentecostal, believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. They believed in experiencing the fullness of God. They believed in the Holy Spirit as God, and they believed in his work. For our church here, we want to embrace and we want to be aware and more aware of the person of the Holy Spirit being with us and working through us empowering us and filling us, being our helper, being our teacher, being our reminder. So can I encourage you today not to let doubt, not to let unbelief, and certainly not to let tradition rob you of the baptism in the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues. Peter says this about receiving the gift. On the day of Pentecost, he said, when they'd received the gift of the Holy Spirit, everyone thought they were weird. He comes outside, he preaches to 3,000 people, and he says, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, your children, and to those who are far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. In other words, this promise is for all forever. Everyone say, for all. For all forever. We need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has not stopped existing, not stopped working. He will always exist. He will always be working in our lives to move life forward. So Peter said, you repent and then you ask and receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Can I have our team come to stage? The Holy Spirit's gift is for everybody. It's for everyone. And it is certainly not weird. It is normal. It is absolutely normal to want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit because it's a gift. I don't want to ignore gifts. When people give me gifts, I receive them. And this is given as a gift for every single one of us. Not because of anything special that we are, but because of the special things that God wants us to do. It's because of the special things that God plans for us to do and for God, who God intends for us to be. And the whole speaking in tongues issue is this, is we have seen much of that which has just been, it's just been like a circus over the years where people are kind of being taught how to speak. You don't need to be taught how to speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues is a consequence of receiving the power of the Holy Spirit. When you have God's presence and Spirit come into you in that filling way like the Bible is talking about, you can't help but speak in tongues. You can't help. It's what happens when you grab something that's alive, when you grab something that's living. Like, I always scream when I grab living things. Like if it's a fish. And I even scream when I hold dead fish. I've told you that kind of story before. And that living thing in my, if I held a snake, I would scream. If I had an eagle sitting on my arm, I would scream. If I had a budgerigar sitting in my hand, I would scream. Because it's alive, it's living. I even scream when you touch me sometimes. Like if you touch me and give me a fright. But I'll tell you when I definitely scream, when power goes through my body. I had it happen once. I'm not going there again. I was working on a washing machine and I was a novice who thought he was an expert. I turned the power off, changed the thing in the washing machine, turned the power back on, played with it a bit more, turned the power off, and I forgot whether I had the power off or had the power on, but I stuck the screwdriver in there and I shook hands with power, 240 volts. Changed me. Literally changed me, laid me flat on my back. I immediately called a washing repair man to come and fix it, and I have had a healthy respect for power ever since. And when I touched it, there were some words that came out of my mouth in fright. But here's how it changed me. On that day, I decided to go and do what God always intended me to do and become a preacher of the gospel. Because at that point in my life, we'd been married, we'd built our house, we were 2 years into ownership in our house, we half owned our house, we'd half paid it off in 2 years, and had plans laid out and everything like that, had the Bible College prospectus in my drawer next to my bed, application form just started to fill out, tucked it away, wasn't going to go to college until I was ready to go to college, until the day I shook power. And it's like, it scared the, yeah, you can finish it. There's a good reason to touch something live. How long has it been? Have you even heard there's a Holy Spirit? Because some haven't. Have you even heard And once he's touched you, you'll never be the same again. He touched me. Oh, Jesus, touch me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Some of us just need a good touch of God. A good touch of God. We've had enough theology today. We've had enough teaching today. Just a good touch of God. Where's Maribu? Maribu is going back to Kiribati. This is your last service today. You need a good touch of God, Maribu. You're going back to Kiribati. You've been here for some time fellowshipping in our church. We want you to take something back. We want you to take the Holy Spirit to your island. We want you to take that back with you. To get a good touch of God today. Why don't we stand to our feet? I'd love to give you an opportunity today. If you want to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The Bible just says we need to ask, and it's a gift, and seek God. And it's up to God. It's not up to me. I'm not a miracle worker. I'm not the giver of the Holy Spirit. God gives the Holy Spirit. And seek the Holy Spirit. And seek to speak in other tongues. And seek to receive the fullness of everything that God has for you. All I've done is laid out the platform for you to believe today. And I'm going to give a few moments today before we leave this morning. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit today, we're going to sing this song, This I Believe, in a moment. I'd ask if you'd come and just come and stand down the front and just lift up your hand and close your eyes and zone out from everybody else and just zone into God for a moment. Pray your own prayer and ask God, come and fill me with the Holy Spirit. We're going to have some people come and pray with you today. We're going to pray God will come and fill you. God will move upon you. God will empower you. We're going to pray God will release you into speaking with other tongues. And most importantly, we're going to pray you'll get the real promise, which is to go and be a brave witness for Jesus Christ, because that's what it's all about. That's what speaking in tongues is all about. It's about empowering us to do what God has asked us to do and to be who God has called us to be. So that's for those that want to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. For those that want to kind of like top up, like, you know, the unfortunate thing about vehicles is you just need to top up the fuel all the time. And at the moment, it's very, very expensive. Sometimes we just need to top up with the Holy Spirit. Paul says, be filled and keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not a set and forget. If you were filled once, you need to be filled again because you leak. You just need more. You just need more. You just need more. So maybe that's you today. If that's you, why don't you just come and why don't you just lose yourself for a few moments in God's presence and seek God and ask God for fresh fillings of the Holy Spirit today. Wherever you are, whatever you need today, come and bring it to God's altar. Come and stand before Him and pray, God, I need your Holy Spirit. I want to receive the Holy Spirit for the first time today and experience all He has for me. Or if you want to top up today, I want a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit today. You come as we sing, then we're going to pray together. If you're online, lean in right now if you would please.
I believe in God our Father.
Come on, I believe.
I believe in Christ the Son.
I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection. That we will rise again.
For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God our Father.
I believe in Christ the Son.
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
Our God is three in one.
I believe in the resurrection.
That's what I believe.
That we will rise.
believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the
saints' communion and in your holy church.
I believe
in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe
in the name of Jesus. I believe
God our Father.
Yeah.
I believe in Christ the Son.
You thank God.
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
Thank God.
Our God is real.
Yeah. Come on. Jesus. Father, I pray for Christine today with your Holy Spirit, with your presence. Empower her to live life, to know you, to represent you, to be a witness for you. Fill her with the power of the Holy Spirit is what I pray. Today, ever present in her, speaking in other tongues. Tapping God, tapping who you are, who you will be.
That we will rise again, for I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is true.
Church, I pray the Holy Spirit fill you over and over and over and over again. Take some moments just to seek God in your own time, in your own place, in your own space to answer that prayer. God, I need you. I need you more. Father, we thank you for who you are and all you do for us and in us and through us. Your word declares that there'll be rivers of living water that flow from within us. Lord, life within, life without. Lord, that's who the Holy Spirit is to us. He's that drink that, Lord, we'll always be satisfied by, Father. And we need that so desperately today. Bless my friends. Bless my family. Bless our church. Today is what we pray. People that are online with us today, Father, we just pray, draw us closer to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. Thank you so much for being with us today. Pray you have an amazing week. Cafe's open for hospitality. Why don't you enjoy some hospitality time together? Our food outlet shop is also open if you want to avail yourself of that this morning. Thank you. God bless.